Now, following last week's demos in Syria and the breaching of the US embassy in Cairo, sparked by the so-called anti-Islam film, the Egyptian president, Morsi, has come in for a lot of criticism. It took him 2 days to respond to the violence, and he then called for scattered demonstrations in front of mosques. Now, the concern is that this unrest spreads beyond Egypt's borders to other Muslim countries, so we thought it timely to look behind the responses from the president and what it could signal both for the region and for future relations with the United States. And who better to ask than George Joffe, Research Director at King's College London Uni and Director of Studies at the Royal Institute for International Affairs in London. And George joins me from his home in Cambridge. Welcome back, George. What was Morsi thinking in taking so much time to respond?
Well, I think the short answer is you need to bear in mind the domestic situation in which he finds himself. He is, in effect, an Islamist, originally a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, now president of Egypt, and he's got a very complicated domestic agenda to address. If he were to come out simply to condemn the demonstrations, that would alienate a very large part of his electorate. And don't forget, new elections will be coming up within the year. If, on the other hand, he were to say nothing, that would offend massively the United States, which is a major supporter of Egypt. It's providing some $3 billion worth of aid this year, plus $1 billion worth of aid forgiveness, and has supported an IMF package for a further $3 billion worth of aid. Now, against that background, he's got to find a modulated way of response. And what he did, in fact, was to phone President Obama on the day that the killing of the American ambassador in Libya occurred and offer his condolences, while at the same time condemning the film that was issued in the United States that started the whole matter off. Then he announced that demonstrations to condemn the film were of course appropriate, but only in front of mosques and not in Tahrir Square, thereby diffusing the question of the demonstrations from what could have been a very nasty confrontation to something much less. And the problem for him really is, he has to bear in mind that to his right, and to the right of the Muslim Brotherhood, is the Salafist movement, which is a crucially important dimension of the situation in Egypt today.
So he knows exactly what he's doing, and it's a calibrated and calculated response.
That's exactly right. He knows he needs...
George, would you like to answer that phone? It's coming through loud and clear.
Well, it'll stop in 1 second.
Okay, sorry.
Don't worry. Basically, he knows he's got to make a calibrated response because for Egypt, the United States is still the key to his relationship with the outside world. He relies on American goodwill. He wants to demonstrate that Egypt is not going to change its treaty obligations. And for all those reasons, in effect, he's going to do the best he can not to annoy the United States without upsetting his domestic electorate.
But Obama has already said, I don't think we would consider them an ally, but we don't consider them an enemy. That's tough talk.
It's certainly tough talk, but Obama is addressing yet another domestic agenda, both the question of the American public as a whole and also the attacks made upon it by by the Republican candidate Mitt Romney. And it's interesting to note that Mitt Romney, by coming out with a very political view and condemning both the demonstrations and the murder of the ambassador in terms that appear to blame the White House, has done himself an awful lot of damage in the polls in the United States.
Yes, he's very maladroit, isn't he, Mr. Romney?
Yes, indeed he really is. I still recall his comments when he visited Britain just before the Olympics, which suggested that we weren't capable of holding such a sport, and that in any case it wasn't really very important. That didn't do him any good, either at home or abroad.
Any implications that the unrest would spread to nearby countries, George?
Well, it's already spread. There have been demonstrations in Lebanon, in Yemen, and elsewhere too. And of course, there were demonstrations in North Africa, and there was the killing
of
the American ambassador in Libya.
And indeed, so, in Sydney at the weekend. So.
Yes, that's right. And no doubt there will be further demonstrations. But I have to say that on these sorts of occasions, recall the Danish cartoons crisis, the Norwegian cartoons crisis that preceded it, the whole question of Salman Rushdie. There's always been a rash of demonstrations worldwide. The really key thing is to see what proportion of the population is really prepared to demonstrate. And that, on this occasion at least, and it's also been true on others as well, has been very small indeed. It's been the Salafist movement, the extreme right wing of the Islamist movement generally, that has been prepared to engage. And that, again, I think is significant, because it shows that the Arab Spring has really caused a change. And I'm afraid to say that insofar as we support democracy, then we have to tolerate the idea that people demonstrate in ways that we don't like.
In the Washington Post today, George, Professor Fuad Ajami said that the protests reflect an Arab pain and volatility, an enduring sense of humiliation in the face of judgment by outsiders. Is that overstating it?
Well, yes. Professor Fuad Ajami is a well-known figure. He's a Shia from Lebanon, and he was a supporter of the neoconservative movement under President Bush. And he's actually right. There is a volatility in the Arab world, particularly at the moment, but for very good reason. Whether that indicates that Arabs in some way are different from the rest of the world over things that they like and dislike, I doubt. I note, for example, that the decision by Japan to buy an island off the Chinese coastline, which has been Japanese, has caused an enormous outroar inside China itself, an outroar that reflects the anger of the Chinese and what they recall from the Japanese occupation of China many years ago.
George, you're a pro. You're handling a barking dog as well as a complex issue, and I thank you very much for your time. Dr. George Joffe, King's College at London University. Royal Institute for International Affairs, thanks so much for your time. Coming up, as promised, Pakistan. This is LNL on RN.